Well, I think dessert may still be coming around. If you need coffee, let our staff know. They'd be glad to help you out. I'm going to go ahead and pray and thank the Lord for the food. And then Rich is going to come up and share more about International Friends. So if you would bow with me. Father, we come before you with grateful hearts, Lord, thankful to you, thankful for your hand upon us and your blessings in our lives. Thank you for the opportunity to be here as family, as community, Lord Jesus, and to just to be drawn closer to you. So, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would prepare our hearts, that our ears would be attentive and listening to what you have for us tonight. We pray this also for our kids, Cove Kids in Lakeside and High Tide, as they learn more about you, Jesus, and they hear about you as Cove Kids practices their songs that are going to sing for us on Wednesday evening, and they learn their Bible points, Lord Jesus. I pray that each of our kids would just have foundational stones laid this week and tonight for their spiritual foundations. And so we just give them to you. We give ourselves to you. We thank you for the opportunity to be together tonight. We thank you for the food. Thank you for the culinary team and the staff that have worked so hard to prepare it. And we just pray your blessings upon them. And we bless your name for what you've provided for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's welcome Rich.
This is definitely the hardest talk after that meal. I hope you can hang in there. I'm having a great week with you all. I so much appreciate the interactions that I'm having with you and the questions you're asking. I'm also really impressed with the number of the children who are coming up to me who are telling me that they heard the first talk and they want to talk to me about that. And that's really cool. They have 7 and 8 year olds and 9 year olds saying, "Oh, I really like what you had to say about international students." That's unusual, and it's a great blessing. I started by telling you the wonderful key to fulfilling the Great Commission through international students. And then this morning I shared with you the key that to ministry to international students is hospitality. Well, the key to spiritual vibrancy, our vision is to see God's love extended globally in partnership with spiritually vibrant international students. The vibrant part has to do with students who are discipled. A critical part is not just seeing students come to know Jesus, but seeing them then grow up in their faith to get a vision from God and then to be trained to return as disciple makers. This picture here was taken on Friday night, just before I came up to Gull Lake. This is a group of guys that I meet with for Bible study. On Friday nights, we have a number of small group Bible studies, and this is the group that I meet with. In this picture are a couple guys from Taiwan. The guy who's kind of halfway, his hand is up. He's learning about Jesus for the first time, and his heart is being drawn to him. His name is TH. You could pray for him. The guy just to the right of my head in the picture is a guy from China who was there for the first time, and he listened very carefully to the Bible study, and then I said, "Do you have any questions?" And his question was, "So how is it that people can connect with God?" And that's the joy of being engaged with people who are studying the Bible for the first time. And then the fellow in the back with the baseball cap on, he is from Iran. And he also is getting close to Jesus. And then there's a guy from Iraq who is from a Muslim background who has come to Christ. And he is growing in his faith. Next to him is a guy I'm going to tell you more about from India. And then there's another guy from China and a Korean-American and another American guy. So what a joy I have to be able to see the Word of God go into the hearts and lives of students like this. That's a great joy that I have, is to invest deeply into the lives of international students. Now, this Bible study that we have, you say, how do you teach Christians and non-Christians Bible study group? One of the things we do is something called a discovery Bible study. A discovery Bible study has 4 parts, a review of what they learned the last week and asking them who they shared, what they learned, the story, and how they obeyed what God showed them to do. And then we read a passage, usually a story in the Bible, and we discover what God is saying to each one of us. And then, of course, the obeying part of the Great Commission, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. The true discipleship always results when people make decisions to follow Jesus. And then finally, the last part is how they're going to share it with other people, the story and what God is teaching them. And underneath each area, I'm not going to go into depth on this, but each section then, we have a format that we follow each week. It makes it highly reproducible. The students can learn these simple questions that are on this inductive Bible study so that without feeling like they need to become a Bible expert or go to Bible school, that they know how to read a Bible story with other people or share a Bible story and engage in discussion about it so that when they go home, they are able to engage with their friends and their family. They can start doing that here with their colleagues. It's really a wonderful thing to have this. And again, the obeying part has to do with listening and not us telling them, but from the Word of God, them responding to what God is showing them needs to change in their attitudes, in the way they think about God, and the way they live their life. Anyone who's interested in knowing more about Discovery Bible Study, I'll be glad to share that with you. But that is one of the keys in our discipleship, that we start discipling people from before they become Christians. That is, they're already learning how to discover what God says. And when they become Christians, then they already can take that and begin to run with it. Okay, let me tell you about my Indian friend, Mohit. I've known Mohit for 4 years, and he came from the northern part of India, Rajasthan. And I'm going to have him share his story with you. But I like to invest in guys like this because he comes from an unreached people group. I mentioned that earlier about one of the strategic parts of working with international students is God is sending us people from parts of the world that have little or no Christian witness. And he's one of the guys that came from that area and was very open to friendship. He was very open to discovering new things, learning the Word of God. He joined my Bible discussion group. And so we have been walking side by side for 4 years. Now, one thing I have to say is, although the Word of God is the same, some of the topics and issues that we deal with are often different than happen in an American church or in a typical American Bible study. For example, one of the students that I was just working with who went back to a restricted country, we were role-playing together in our discipleship. What happens when the boss starts to put pressure on? We role-played going to the police station with the police interrogation when the police are putting pressure on for the person to renounce their faith. You know, these are not the typical things that you would do in a Bible study group, but those are the types of things that we do together in our discipleship and preparing students. With Mohit, one of the topics that we're dealing with is the issue of how to deal with corruption. When he returns to India, how should he deal with the different situations of being tempted to give bribes and the corruption that's part of the educational system, the society? These are vital parts of our training of international students. So Mohit is my joy. And this is a picture, it's hard to see, but one of the stories I taught Mohit was the story of the Good Samaritan. And afterwards, he decided to draw this picture, which is the picture in his own picture of the Good Samaritan. And underneath it, he wrote that he said, "For the first time in my life, I have someone that I can share my deepest feelings and thoughts with, to my true friend, Rich." So that's the type of relationship we have together. And this is one of the things we do. We enter into the sphere of discipleship in the relationships that people have. We don't pull them out of their sphere of context. So these were his roommates, a couple Indians and one of the Indians' girlfriend, and we would eat together. The one guy is a Muslim and the other guy is a Sikh, so quite a diversity. And then one of the things that Mohit did this year was IFI helped to sponsor a conference for international students, and there were hundreds of international students who came, and it was online, and Mohit was one of the co-hosts for that, so getting him leadership opportunities. So that's part of our training for Mohit to be ready to go home and be a leader who exhibits Christ. So let's go ahead and show this video where Mohit recently recorded his story. It's longer. I'm going to have to cut it off because he had a lot to say. But I want through these videos, you know, me not just to tell you about people, but let them talk to you from their life, that you can see the process that God brought him through. You can see the depth of his thinking. You can see his heart to obey God. So let's go ahead and listen to Mohit share his story, both of learning about Jesus and about discipleship.
Hello, my name is Mohit Kumar Jangir, and I'm an international student from India. I come from Rajasthan, a northwestern state in India. And people in my state and the surrounding states in general are in a constant struggle to run their daily lives. And with that mindset, people do not care about religion, but all they want is to live a happy life somehow. And in my family, my parents never talked about religion, but they emphasized on doing good deeds and avoiding immoral acts. And growing up in such a culture, I was not much aware of any religion or even the Hindu one. And according to the Joshua Project, among my people, there are very few followers of Jesus. And in fact, it says there are 0.1% of followers of Jesus out of 76 million in my states. And therefore, at that time, Jesus was like a good guy, similar to Mahatma Gandhi and Mother Teresa. And when I was chosen for OSU for my master's later, I had two goals in my mind. One is to get a quality education. And then the second was to get exposed to different cultures in the world. And eventually, I wanted to go back to India and to serve in India as a professor in a university. And so 4 years ago, when I came to USA, I focused on these two goals. And I studied hard. I looked for many opportunities where I can interact with different people from various backgrounds. And IFI does a good job reaching out to international students and informing them about all the events that they organize. And I still remember when in the very first week in Columbus, when I got out of my OSU departmental orientation, Jerry and IFI staff passing out flyers. And I looked at the events on the flyers, and so during my first 2 years, I attended almost all the IFI events, like Indian Festival, Chinese Lunar New Year, weekend stay at American Family, and pumpkin carving, Thanksgiving dinner, and Christmas, and trips to Washington, D.C., Hocking Hills, and the Vision Conference, and last but not the least, Bible study. And I started to attend the Bible study occasionally during my study. And during those years, my interest in Bible study was to meet different peoples from different culture, enjoy good food, and fulfill my curiosity about what these guys has to say about Bible or a guy named Jesus. And after 2 years of friendship and fellowship in Bible study and close relationship with many IFI staff, including Rich, there came a time when I came upon two important revelations. And one of these revelations came through the things that Rich spoke in the Bible studies. And I started to remember and reflect those sayings, and they started to influence my life. And here is an example. In one of the meetings, Rich said that he had many presentations to give this weekend and a very little time to prepare. And he was overwhelmed with so many things that he has to finish. And as a resolution, he said, I will do whatever I can, and I will be okay with whatever I cannot do. And he based this on Jesus' statement to the woman who poured perfume on Jesus' feet, with a statement, she did what she could. And in one of my class presentation, I was in the very same situation, very little time. And I remember what Rich said, and I thought, okay, let me just do whatever I can. And surprisingly, everything worked well. And here is another example. In Bible study, we read, love your enemies as you love yourself. And this context came around a time when I was living with two Indian roommates. And they would never clean the house, would not help when needed, and would not cooperate in any house duties. And when they did it for the long time, for years, I became irritated. I began to hate them. And then I asked myself, are they my enemies? I said, no. But am I loving them as I would love my family or close friends? I said, definitely no. And you see, with these questions, I even wondered, like, why I was even talking to myself as though I should follow what Jesus says in the Bible. And I didn't know at that time, but whatever I read and whatever the situation kept going through me, it kept bugging me for many times. And you can see how God began to speak to me. And so this was my one of the revelations. And here's the other revelation that I came to know upon. And it was with a close friendship with the rich, and we had a regular meetings. And in one of our interaction, Rich happened to give me a book called God Guides. And the book had very short stories, and it was fun to read. So I went through it and I completed it. And later in one of the meetings with Rich, I asked him, how can I know when God speaks to me? And Rich said, it will be like an intersecting thought out of normal flow, out of the blue. And it will be a consistent thought with what we are reading in the Bible. And he added that it will give you peace if you follow it. And then I could recall many of the instances when I felt like someone spoke something to me, and it was exactly how as it is said. And I came to understand that God wanted to speak to me. And I can talk about many such examples. And overall, with these revelations, I realized that attending Bible study was giving me a valuable wisdom that will become a foundation of my identity, my vision, my actions. And not just for this semester or some few years around, but will be forever. And so my priorities starts to shift. And I made Bible study my priority. And I solidified and improved my knowledge about
okay.
struggles.
Yeah, sorry, you can't hear the rest. Hope you
humility, about leadership, about shame and guilt, about limiting beliefs, the gratitude, and being honest and loving to everyone, being sharing and surrendering my possessions.
Hold on, Rich.
And seeking truth. And
I'll give you the baton.
Okay. And many such.
Yeah. In IFI, one of the things we do is we have a 9-month post-graduation discipleship program. When internationals graduate, they can get something called optional practical training, where they can work for a year in a field related to their studies. And during that year, when they're getting their practical training, we provide in-depth discipleship training. In fact, when you give your offering tonight and you're thinking about supporting our ministry, one of the things that we want to have supported is our discipleship of international students. And some of these students are coming to work with IFI so we can prepare them, and we need funding for that. So if you give, then one of the things you're going to support is the discipleship of international students, and specifically this ICEED program. And one of the things I just did recently, for example, is speak to these 45 international students who are preparing to return home, and we call it World Changers, and I participated in sharing with them more about how to do evangelism and how to tell Bible stories and how to go through the discipleship process. So that's big on my heart. It's big in what we're about in IFI. And I hope that just gives you again a little better taste to say, oh, you know, okay, it's great. We befriend the international students. We share Jesus with them, but we don't leave them there. We help them to follow Jesus so they can become a world changer. So thank you very much for your interest in our ministry. And remember to stop by. Some of you I know are thinking about, hey, how can I get involved in this thing? Or what should I do in response to this? If you put your name on that, either return the card or put your name on that sheet that's in the tab, then I will follow up with you and be glad to partner in this ministry together. Thank you.
Can you put the website back up? We're going to get the website back up there. So if you want to do online giving, you can. I encourage you not only to give tonight toward International Friends, but talk to Rich about being involved. I was just sharing with him right before he came up. Some family campers that were here, I think week two or three, that were here a year or two ago and heard Rich, and now they live here in Michigan, and they're doing International Friends at Grand Valley State University, and they were showing me pictures of the 15 to 20 students that they've had at their house and how that's going. It's really exciting to see how that can take place, and a few of them that have actually trusted Jesus, which is really kind of cool. So we're going to take a break here in just a minute, but before we do, wanted to remind you, as I mentioned this morning, as far as giving the offering, there's three ways to give and one way not to give. One of the ways to give is by check. You can write that to International Friends, and you can just stick that in the box. You'll already have your address and everything on there, so you don't even have to put it in an envelope, but you can put it in an envelope if you want to use one. If you're giving cash, you can just stick the cash in the bucket. And don't let the buckets confuse. I think one week some people were confused because the buckets say Gull Lake Ministries on them, and they thought maybe the offering was for Gull Lake Ministries. Tonight's offering is just for missions. That's all it's for, International Friends. So if you put cash in the bucket, it goes to International Friends. If you want a receipt for your cash, put your information on the card and stick the cash in there. And that way, we'll make sure that card gets to International Friends. And then if you want to give online, you can do that online. And if you do that, as I mentioned this morning, you don't even have to write your name on the card. Just put online.